Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If we had a more literal translation of the text, the opening address of Simeon's song is startling, at least to the modern ear. Now, despot, you're releasing your slave, or you're setting your slave free, O despot. Despot indeed. The Greek word there is despota. Despotes. A modern dictionary defines the title in this way: a ruler with absolute unlimited power, an autocrat. No, there's something about the auto that might be true, but I don't know about the crat. It then proceeds to tell us what we really think about such a person. Any tyrant or oppressor, it says. Now, of course, the older version was that of Greek Byzantine emperor. He was called a despot. Or even the archbishop in the Orthodox Church might be termed a master in words of despotes. One wonders if the mood of the word changed with our changed attitude toward anything that was absolute in the Enlightenment. No more the deus dixit, God speaks to us, as if God's speaking no longer has authority. No more despot, no more talk of slave. We have been freed from our absolutes, freed from our masters. No more theonomy, God's law. Now we live a life of autonomy, literally self-law. There's the autocrat about it, the selfness. We're all turned in on ourselves, Luther says, and that is our problem. Simeon was not so bothered, for he knows this Lord, this despotes. He knows him well. He has now been released, or set free, literally, dismissed from his vigil. He has been performing the lengthy task of a watchman, watching for that one to come whom the prophets of old had been telling about for centuries. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, would be coming. The release from the task will come in death. The verb that is used here is used in that connotation way back to Abraham and Aaron already. At the end of the watch comes something else that we might not associate with a despot. That is peace, salvation, and light. What a blessed weight it has been for him. What a gracious despot he serves. The Church, in her wisdom, has also often displayed in her liturgy, has appointed Simeon's song in very instructive ways. From ancient times, he was used at compline, the last of the offices of the day, the last prayer office of the day, the final hour of the day, as it were, right before retiring, right before setting free from the day to go into sleep. And even more theologically astute is the way in which it is used in the liturgy of the sacrament of the altar. Here, having departed from the table prepared for us, as we hear in Psalm 23, there is received peace, salvation, and light in Christ's body and blood. We too offer the thanksgiving song of Simeon. Lord, now let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We've seen it there in the body and blood of Christ in the bread and wine. What a marvelous thing that is. The Church has not always used the words of Scripture in its liturgy in the way it intended originally, maybe. It's like when the psalmist says, taste and see the Lord is good. The early Church used that about the Lord's Supper as well. But here, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which indeed we have. There's also an eschatological message here, as it's used at the end of days, so it's used at the end of days. It fits both. It is a song of the Church in the end time. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Yes, well, we too have spent our end time days waiting for and watching for the appearing of our salvation, the return of Christ. How appropriate then that this very song is used after the sacrament of the altar and of our communion there. And where better than in the house of God's presence at the table of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The first temple and the tabernacle were filled with a cloud of glory, so that in both cases Moses and later on Solomon and the priests could not even enter there to perform the prayers until that had cleared. Not so the second temple. And yet God had made the promise that the second temple would also be filled with such glory. How could that be? The old men who came back from the exile and they saw the new temple and dedication, they wept aloud. It doesn't have the glory. It's nothing like the first temple. And yet on this very day we find out the promise of God was kept there. This was a glory the likes of which the first had never seen. Here was the very bodily essence of God and His glory in this temple. Oh, the prophets knew what they were talking about. That the presentation of Christ was manifested or epiphanied to Simeon and to Blessed Anna. He is now manifested to us in His body and blood at each supper. We with Him sing the song to a gracious despot. Oh, what peace, salvation, and light He brings to us. This gracious despot, this Master who has now set us free to die in peace and go our way. And so now we sing that song at number 11 in the hymn book. At number 11, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace.